Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. Chris has given his vaccine wave. thank you so much for joining us here on YouTube Live for the build-up show to Liverpool Crystal Palace. The final game of the season. The season's so close to being over and it's tantalisingly within reach that it might not be an absolute unmitigated disaster. One more game to go, Chris Page.
Oh, finally. Like, I'm so excited for this season to be over. I've never wished for a season to be over for as long as this one. It's felt like it's just been going on for the last 3 years of my life in some way. And yet, after all of that, we can achieve the bare minimum that we needed to achieve this season, and it's in our own hands. And that's so good, because the way that we've been playing over the last sort of few weeks is I now have trust in this side again, which I just... 8 weeks ago, I didn't have anything. I just couldn't see them turning it around for love nor money, because nothing was changing no matter what we did. And finally, they turned the corner and proved to everybody why they were champions last season and why they are so good.
Yeah, absolutely right. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Liverpool's opponents, Crystal Palace. But there was a brand new show out on the Super 6 YouTube channel this week. It is Hold the L. Chris and I have been regulars on it this season. We're not on it this week, but they are having a really interesting discussion about who's the biggest transfer flop or flop in general of the season. Here's a little clip from that.
You've missed so many one-on-one chances, so many big chances that could have turned the game for Chelsea, could have turned them into title contenders earlier in the season, and he flopped. 6 Premier League goals, Flav, is terrible. There's some players on the subs bench for teams that have scored more Premier League goals this season or any season than Timo Werner. It's embarrassing. He, for me, is not only the worst Premier League signing this season, probably the worst in Europe. Big name signing. He's the worst big name signing in Europe.
Welcome back. Well, there's an interesting discussion on that, because obviously the Timo Werner thing, I think Timo Werner, will people think he's the flop of the season? DT makes a really good point about Havertz. Nobody's talked about how crap Havertz has been.
He hasn't had the opportunity to be as crap as he...
Mad though, innit? Like, you and I, it was really high expectations of him, and he's just got he's dodged the bullets in terms of criticism.
He was the one that I thought was going to change them. Like, he was the one that I thought would make a massive difference to them.
Yeah. So, go over to the Super 6 channel. Leave a comment there on your thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the matter. Drop a like. And if you want to say the Red Men sent you, that's awesome as well.
Vote Flav.
Yeah, vote Flav. Why not? Always vote Flav. Yes, right. Let's dive into it. We've got Jay Pearson and we've got Ben Kelly with us as well for this one. And Ben, 10,000 fans inside Anfield for a game of football with 3 points to win. You know, Klopp's been talking about this being a final. You know, we've earned the right for this to be a final by winning the quarters against United, the semis against West Brom, and now we've arrived. It's a bit of a crap prize, but also, you know, it shouldn't be discounted that, to Chris's point, we're playing to not have our plans set back by a bare minimum of a season. That's what we're playing for here.
Yeah, I'm absolutely made up that we're in this situation after everything that's gone on this season. I can't quite believe that we're on the verge of winning 5 games in a row to sneak into the European Cup. We've not been in the top 4 since February. And like, how have we done this? You know what I mean? Like, and that's how it feels. And, you know, over the last couple of days, it's been really good to watch games with fans back. You know, there'd been no reason for me to sit and watch any of Man United Fulham on Tuesday nights. But like the fact that they had some fans in it, and that, you know, the Cavalli scored a goal, but it was just nice to see at every ground. And there was loads of players coming out afterwards and saying, you know, I didn't realize 10,000 people could sound so loud and all of that. We've talked all season about how much of an effect that not having fans at Anfield will has had on us, but you know, we can use that now. 10,000 people will have never sounded so loud as they will on Sunday inside Anfield. We've got to go and show, as fans who are going to go to that ground, we've got to go and show that what we've been saying all along is right, that the fans add something to Anfield, and we've got to go, and the 10,000 that are there have got to make it sound like the full 50,000 are in.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it, Jay? You know, the season objectives have had to shift. They have done. You know, Liverpool have been decimated this year. There's no escaping that. It's not excuses. It's just the reality of where we're at. We would much prefer this to be a title decider, or, you know, this is a European Cup final, or this is an FA Cup final, or this is whatever. But the point is that, you know, what all football is about is having reasons to get excited and celebrate, and that's the point. If you told us, to Chris's point earlier, you know, in March, that we were going to have a game at Anfield, last game of the season, 10,000 fans in, and it matters, you know, and you've got to win one game of football to guarantee, you know, Champions League football, given how crap we've been, we would all have been made up with this circumstance.
Absolutely, and circumstance is the perfect word there, Paul, based on what's been happening over the last 12 months. I think a lot of people have taken everything for granted, haven't they? And it's upsetting a lot of people the way it is, but this is a nice positive that we can finish on. I think positivity is key, and it is going to be a fantastic day all around. Obviously, provided we get the right result, which I believe we will. But again, finishing the season on a high, positive, and we can go again next season with all them circumstances in a positive light, that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a weird game, Chris, for, you know, for all the positive reasons we've discussed. The Roy Hodgson sideshow's not great. You know, it's going to be his final game before he retires. You've got Christian Benteke, who's back in form. You know, there's really, like, uncomfortable moments where I'm replaying things in my head. What our hope is here, because, you know, Crystal Palace came and ruined Steven Gerrard's last game at Anfield. Roy Hodgson's ruined loads of things. Benteke's had loads of bit of hero moments at Anfield as well from his Villa days. I want this to finally be a situation where a bit of revenge for a lot of that kind of stuff. You know, let's go and Roy Hodgson deserves to have his last game as a manager ruined by us. He does. Because he was a shit Liverpool manager, and he didn't get it, and he rubbed us all up the wrong way. Like, I don't wish him any ill, but in pure footballing terms, there's a nice little undercurrent there on the flip side of all Rod Hodgson could come and piss on our chips, that we could just go and piss on his chips, and I think that would be great.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm all right. I'm okay. Look, he's been in the game long enough, and I don't like him as a manager. I didn't think he was a good Liverpool manager, but I'm okay for people talking about him going into the game. That's great. That takes the eyes and the pressure off Liverpool going into the game, as far as I see it. But as soon as that game finishes, I want everybody talking about Liverpool Football Club and the Champions League. Yeah. And that's the way that it should be. Like, we pissed on Leicester's chips last weekend when they win the FA Cup and we scored the greatest goal in the history of all of the football since all of the world began. Yeah. Like, that's what we want wanted to do, and then Cavani scores that, and they go, oh, it's a great goal. Nah, mate, it's not compared to what we saw.
Question,
weekend.
We got asked this last night, and I'll go to Ben first on this. Alisson Becker, is it goal of the season?
I can't think of many better. You put me on the spot there, but I think for the circumstances and for who bloody scored it, yeah, like it's got to be. But have goal of the season's been given out? That's the thing. Like, they're often done early, aren't they? So have we missed the boat on goal of the season? I hope we've not, because it's definitely in the conversation.
They haven't done May's goal of the month.
No, yeah, I don't think so. The thing is, goal of the season doesn't take context into it, does it? And that's the thing.
Long,
technically, there may have been one better header or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the context of this season, there has been no goal that's been as important.
The good thing to that point, because you're right, because sometimes, like, you're right, the circumstances surrounding a goal, you know, because it might not look like the best, because it's not the cleaner striker, it's not the this and that. But, Jay, it is a sublime header, and it's the fucking goalkeeper. So you can't, the context actually can't be stripped away from the fact almost that, yeah, people might forget it was a 95th minute winner of a game. it's the goalie going off. It's
good. Yeah, exactly.
You just never know, do you?
Well, let's change it from goal of the season to moments of the season. Let's do that. Yeah. Let's make it in the better context. But yeah, it was super. But yeah, definitely the moment of the season, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I disagree. I think what followed was the moment of the season in my eyes, to be honest. I've been waiting for that view for years, and I finally got it, like, you know what I mean? So for me, it was all about mating.
it's quite an interesting thing to be linked with, but there you go. I mean, as I say, there's plenty of dangerous portents there, but I'm sure Palace will be looking at it from the same perspective and looking at what Liverpool turn the corner and what we do, and again the home atmosphere. And Hodgie will do what Hodgie does, and then he'll shuffle off to retirement. What I did really enjoy about this on the Alisson goal, and why there's some similarities with the Hodgson stuff, is that we broke Sam Allardyce. We clearly broke him. He was so angry and so upset and so embittered about that Alisson goal that he just decided to walk away from West Brom in protest. Decided he's giving up on this management shit. He's going to go and be a pundit and then criticise everyone.
You know he's going to be in sports, don't you? There's nowhere else that he belongs.
He's going to be on the ale every day with Keys and Gray, isn't he? 100%. They all come back crackers from there, you know. Like, there's that Rob McCaffrey. He was a lovely man. Yeah, he's a Scouser originally. He was on Sky back in the day, but he went over there for years, and he's like...
I thought BM was filmed in London.
Keys
and Grey was filmed in London.
Maybe, yeah. But like they were all over in Dubai all the time for it or whatever, and they're all a bit mad. Like, you know, just a bit mad. They've had their own way for far too many years.
Allardyce filling pools up with gravy in Dubai.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be his rider. You know what I mean? Like, that'll be it. Like, you know, some people have 1,000 brown M&Ms to fill a brandy glass, but his will be like a pool full of gravy, freshly churned.
Guess how many litres of gravy I can get in my pool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it won't be anything fancy. It'll be Bisto, and he'll demand that as well. Demand it.
Catering Bisto as well, not even fucking...
Right, we're going to talk about what Liverpool do in this game, who lines up, and some of the, obviously, what it means in the other games that are being played and all that kind of stuff as well. We've got a very short break, but a very short break.
That's little fucking thing of when Sam Allardyce does dye his hair, and it's just a Bisto thing with his ashes in.
just make more plastic lid out of it, mix it with a bit of a bit like Donnie's ashes in there, the Big Lebowski. Yeah, that'd be sad. Right, wicked. Yes, we've got a very short break, very very short break, so don't go anywhere. The trivia question you've got a very limited time to get this one. How many different clubs has Roy Hodgson managed against Liverpool?
Does it include Liverpool?
I mean, it definitely felt like that when he was in charge.
It's
not a trick question, no. Name the clubs the Hodgson has managed against Liverpool back in about 30 seconds. Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back. Yes, the Henderson 10 years documentary is going to be sensational. Teaser 2 oh, if you think that was good and that was exciting, it was like 20 seconds. Wait till you see teaser 3, 3 p.m. live premiere on the YouTube channel. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And obviously to our social channels as well, at the Redmen TV on pretty much everything at this point. The trivia question was, how many different clubs has Roy Hodgson managed against Liverpool? Jay Pearson, what do you think?
I'll go with 5.
Ooh, 1, 2, 3, 4 is the answer.
I was going to guess 4 because he came to England late, didn't he? Like, he spent fucking years in Sweden. I think he won the Swedish league in fucking 79 or something, which is only major trophy. Major trophy. So it's Fulham, innit? It's Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of the other two, though, and I know I'll kick myself.
Ben?
West Brom.
West Brom.
West Brom's one.
He was very... Blackburn. Oh.
Blackburn Rovers. Oh, wow, yeah. 97-98 season was he managed Blackburn against us. Drew both of those games. That doesn't bode well. But yeah, there you go, Roy Hodgson. Oh, I just want him to not be a thing in my life.
But he's a bit like Fievel, isn't he? From fucking Fievel Goes West, isn't that? Because he's singing Never Say Never Again now, isn't he? Like, you know,
oh, really?
What I mean? Yeah, he's not saying like...
Does he was retiring?
Oh, hang on a minute.
You're thinking
like,
of Alice.
I'm thinking of Gravy Tits, aren't I?
Bisto boobs.
Bisto boobs.
Yeah, if you got that right, well done. Give yourself a massive pat on the back. Yeah, just to mention here, the Henderson documentary series will be streaming exclusively on theredmentv.com. So make sure you're subscribed for all that. And there is a ton of bonus content around that. You will not believe the content drop we've got coming up for our subscribers over on there. Yeah, we're going to be finalizing a few bits and pieces, and it's also going to be this is an exclusive piece of information, it's going to be on early release for Club Legend subscribers over on the website as well, hopefully. We're just going to work on the technology on that, but that is definitely the plan, so make sure you get subscribed. Diogo Jota might have a slight chance was the word prior to Burnley, Chris. It would be lovely just to have him on the bench,
yeah,
you know.
I don't want to use him.
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario in this one, isn't it? Is that he's there on the bench and he's not brought on, because why bother if you're 3-0 up and stuff like that? And that's kind of where I am with it. I just don't think that a slight chance ousts Mane at this point of the season. Especially, like, look, Mane coming for a lot of criticism. I was sat here watching the game last night, not particularly enamoured with his first half, but he improved second half. And he did get better, and he started to try and take his man on. And yeah, he misses his chances and stuff like that. But as long as the team's winning, I don't care how they really all perform. I really care about the results, and that's first and foremost, isn't it? So yeah, great that Jota could be there. Great if it gives Mane a little bit of a boost over the next couple of days heading into that game. But really, we don't want to use him.
I think, look, the ideal world here, Ben, is that for Jota anyway, is he's going to be fit for the Euros. So he's fit to be involved in this game, then great. Look, he'll be used, you know, if he is properly fit and available. But there is a point to which you can't stop him going to the Euros. So you don't want to run the risk of sending him away on international duty when you've maybe harmed him even slightly in terms of his fitness.
Yeah, potentially. A small part to play. He's not giving much away there for me, Klopp. I feel like potentially part of it is just trying to keep Crystal Palace guessing, because obviously, you know, we know that we've got no other options whatsoever. And they will know that as well. So they know as it stands that it's the standard front three. It's for me, you know, Mane and Salah starting. But if you just throw Jota back into that equation ever so slightly, just keeps them guessing a little bit. I suspect he'll be on the bench at the very most, as Chris, you know, as Chris rightly said, you know, hopefully he shouldn't need to be used, and he can just have this little bit of time off now, because, you know, when it's not a big injury like Van Dijk, I was in two minds about Van Dijk going to the Euros, because I was thinking, well, if he goes away and does all their training and gets fit with the Netherlands, then that might end up being a good thing for us. But when it's been such a big injury, I think he's made the right decision to stay here and continue to rehab here. But with a player like Jota, who's just, you know, it was a smaller thing. You know, obviously he's not quite fit enough to be playing for Liverpool, but it's not like he's been out for months and months. He goes away, he gets the game time that he needs with Portugal. That all makes sense to me. So let's hopefully keep him rested before that, and let him join up with the squad and do all the fitness and all of that, and get himself up, you know, match sharp for the new season with them.
Yeah, definitely. We had a couple of super chats in while we were chatting. Stefan Valerio with the $5.99 Aussie dollars, and then left the comment slightly further down. Says, any worries about Palace fellas? They created a lot of chances against us in the 7-0 and were pretty robust against Arsenal. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, they created a lot of chances, but they conceded 7.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I don't think we'll be expecting to get the same. That was the perfect storm for us. You know, we've had loads of games like that. There's plenty of talk about games where we've drawn this season where we've created as many chances as we did in the Palace game. It would be nice for us to get back to that. But the last few games have been, that's a warning sign for us. You know, Reece Williams has struggled a little bit in these games. He's definitely one that we need to keep an eye on because Palace actually have more, they've definitely got more pace in attack than West Brom have got, and definitely more than Burnley. So there is I don't think no matter how well Liverpool play, I can't foresee a world where Palace don't get in a couple at least once.
Yeah, it's been the story of our season. Why change it now? In the last game of the season, it's always happened. So yeah, we can't take it lightly, mate, can we? Yes, as we talk right now, we're in fourth, which is fantastic, and we just got to keep. It's like we said on the final word, didn't we? You just got to keep playing our game. As long as we play our game and play it well, another great performance at Turf Moor. You know, wonderful performance at Old Trafford. You know, moments of the season for West Brom. Let's just keep doing our game. Worry about ourselves. But yeah, I think we're more than capable of stopping Palace. Of course, we are. But I just worry about Benteke because he always scores against us, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. Another big test for Nat, isn't it? Tom Down with the £5 super chat. Thank you, Tom. Says secure top four finish, then push on for a title challenge next season. This team never gives up. Yeah, I mean that's what we talk about, the positivity. That's what the end. You know, we talked on the final word about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's had a good. You know, if he can put in another decent little cameo performance, maybe he grabs another goal. Whatever. He ends the season going positive. Everyone feels positive around him, and he's just one player. That's what we're fighting for. Because you've been making this point that we could finish 2 points behind Man United. We could finish third if results go our way, and 2 points behind Man United. And look, we've been joking that would be actually quite annoying to have put us through the ringer to end up being that close. But that's the kind of situation where every single goal we score, you know, is a chance for us to feel more comforted that this was a freak season, not a Liverpool were found out season, yeah. Which we know, yeah. But it doesn't hurt the cause.
No, it doesn't. And there's so many things. I mean, I saw on Twitter last night, I think it was, that, you know, we're 17 points behind Manchester City, that they finished 18 behind us last year, and we're the worst champions ever. We're actually closer than the champions the year before were to us and stuff like that. But I just wanted to talk quickly about Liverpool versus Crystal Palace, because Jurgen Klopp's gone head-to-head with Roy Hodgson 6 times and won all 6 games. So, we've won our last 8. Won our last 8 against Crystal Palace, going back before Roy Hodgson was even a manager. So, and that goes back to, they beat us on the 23rd of April, 17 was the last time that they beat us. And since then, it's been 8 wins.
All right.
Something like that, you know what I mean?
Frank Bale, it's been a good luck as well.
We've been really good against Crystal Palace, so... Yeah.
It's a similar tale to the Burnley one for me, is that you've got to go and you can get that game won by the 60-minute mark. And the same as we did at Palace away, to be honest. And lockdown football's been like that, and now it's the last game of the season. Palace are 13th in the league. The highest they can go is 12th. And I think that's if Wolves lose their last game. They're not going to be flying up. And they've got the worst goal difference out of any of the non-relegated sides. You know,
minus 23.
It's
ridiculous.
It's mad. You know, that's it. They're having a bit of a. They are a struggle. But hopefully, you know, it's just we know what the, it's our fear. It's all our fear talking. In terms of personnel, then Ben Milner will be begging for the start in this one.
Ben Milner, then, but like Ben.
So did I.
Milner.
Ben Milner will be begging for a start. I'll say Chamberlain will probably feel similar in this. My overriding feeling is Klopp's going to have no sentiments. Like Gini Wijnaldum's another one. Do you go, oh, well, Gini, it's his last game for Liverpool. Do you play him because of that? Or do you not play him because it's his last game? You might as well play someone else. Because of what's riding on this, Klopp will not give a shit for sentiments. He'll just put out whatever team he feels is the best for this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that team will be unchanged. I don't think you can take Thiago out the side at the moment because he's been tremendous. And then for me, I think he goes Klopp, for me, I think in games like this, or in games where there's things riding on it, Klopp always just goes with what he knows and what he trusts. And I think regardless of whether or not it's Gini Wijnaldum's last game for Liverpool, he trusts Gini in that midfield ahead of the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Naby Keita and other players at the moment. So for me, I think we'll see an unchanged team. James Milner is one that potentially is, but I do think that Gini offers us a little bit more in terms of his energy in midfield, to be honest. And I think we need to win the game as well. And I think James Milner is the type of player that you bring on to, not necessarily, I think, to see a game out. You know, so I think you could see James Milner coming on when, you know, if we're a goal up or two, and it, you know, he came on last night, didn't he? So I think for me, same team as yesterday. Get yourself a goal up and see what happens from there.
You could see, I mean, you know, the rotational thing, we talk about fresh in the midfield up. You could easily see Milner just coming in for Wijnaldum in this, or Curtis, absolutely. Because, you know, he's got that available to him, and I don't think there's any significant, I don't think there's a wrong answer, really, for this, because I think all, you know, Gini Wijnaldum's Gini, you know what you're getting out of him. You can get an amazing performance out of him, you can get a decent performance out of him. Milner's going to give you all the battle, Curtis going to give you a bit more pace and direct running and flair, more linking up with the attack. It might actually be a Curtis Jones kind of game. You know what Palace's game plan is going to be. It might be a way to add a little bit more firepower to us. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing to do.
I just think, for me, just on the Wijnaldum thing, I agree with Ben, by the way. I think it will probably be unchanged. But I do like the way that Klopp, and we spoke about this on the final word, Joe, has mixed that midfield up just a few times with just one change. Yeah. And I think it's kept them fresh and it's kept them on the toes. And I think as long as you've got Thiago and Fabinho there, you're all right with that. It wouldn't shock me, is what I'm trying to say, to see a Milner or a Kurt Jones in there. I've got a question for you. What was the side that beat Crystal Palace 7-0? Anybody want to start off with that one?
I couldn't even name the centre-halves.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. Anyone? Anyone?
Minamino played.
He did. Not a centre-half, though.
No.
Firmino,
was it Nat Phillips and Joel Matip?
No.
Joel Matip and Joel Matip? Williams?
No. Yes.
Fabinho?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that happened.
Fullbacks.
Did Henderson play?
Fullbacks.
Kelleher?
No. Henderson did play.
Okay.
Kurt?
No.
Thiago?
No.
He's injured, wasn't he? Oh, Christ. Gini?
Gini did.
Yeah.
One more player. Plays in midfield.
Naby?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
So, Fabinho, Matip, centre-halves, Keita, Hendo, Wijnaldum, Mane on the right, Firmino, centre, Minamino, left.
It's been a fucking mad year.
It's just like... Christ.
Honestly, like, what have you got? It was Kelleher and goal. Like, yeah, of course it was. Yeah, no problem.
I actually saw... my microphone was in front of Alice. I only saw an A and assumed it was Alice, and it actually could have been.
Yeah, it could have been. Otis H with the Super Chat says, you're playing Kurt in this game, Jay?
Wouldn't say no to him. You know, he's such a talented player, and he playing at home in front of the fans again, he'd relish it just as much as anybody else would. But like you said, Paul, there's no wrong answer, is there? I'd be happy with anybody, because just as long as we get the win.
My thing for Wijnaldum is I want to give him a proper send-off. I really do. And I don't care whether that's for him starting at the beginning. I think he's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You've seen this season when the world is falling around Gini Wijnaldum, he's given us the same every single week. Yeah. Like, his levels haven't dropped. He's been there almost all of the time. He's been an absolute stalwart of Klopp's side for the last few years, and he deserves 90 minutes. But if Klopp wants to just bring him on with one, if we're 3-0 up, I'll give him just as big a send-off.
Look, they're going to do the lap of appreciation or whatever at the end of the game, so the fans are going to get to do the send off for whoever whatever they're doing regardless. So again,
you just rather see them in the kit, wouldn't
you? Yeah, well, they'll all be
you know what I mean.
They'll go out and change into their we finish in the top 4 t-shirts and bring the Premier League, bring the Premier League trophy.
All about the lap of appreciation, it's one of my favourite things about going to Anfield at the end of the year. We just
wasn't for that. Like,
thanks for that television series, lads.
I do wonder, because we were talking about this, about the press. Crap series, writer's strike and all that. It's like Hero Series 2, rubbish. I wonder whether they'll do something. One of the best series of all time. I wonder whether they'll do something with the Premier League trophy. like, I know we're not champions anymore, and they've talked about the club, even said they might still do something, but I wonder whether that's it. I don't know if you do it pre-game, or maybe you do because it's the season over, whether you just bring the trophy out and let us have a look at it. Just
yeah, Liverpool's the presentation is for City, isn't it? So is it a different trophy? Do you get one
yeah,
each?
Yeah. I mean, there's Lesky have had one in the studio and all that. I mean, Jay's got one. So like, we ask Liverpool can borrow Jay's if they need to. It'll be absolutely fine. I think that my dad always talks about a story. I think it was when we played Inter Milan in the European Cup, and they paraded the FA Cup, I think, or something like that. They paraded something before, and to G everyone up. I'd be bang up for that, and then take the ribbons off and then show it to the players bare. I'll put the blue ribbons on and go, you can't touch this now, and then go, oh, and get them all fired up for it, whatever it takes. Right, let's have a little chat about the other games being played this weekend, because obviously we know if Liverpool win, and if Liverpool win well, it's a huge ask for Leicester to overturn. But we know that if Leicester, you know, we've got a 4-goal difference in our favour at the moment, they'd need a big swing to overcome that. Leicester host
Tottenham
on Sunday. Obviously, they're all 4 o'clock kickoffs. That's a really, really interesting one. We were trying to work out the logistics of that. I can't see Spurs doing anything, to be honest, Chris, because they've got Ryan Mason as the manager.
It's true. I mean, not many teams have got a 29-year-old as a manager who's got like about 5 years' experience of playing football. So a bit of a mad one. But with Everton and Arsenal breathing down the necks, I fancy Tottenham have to go out and try and do something. Mm-hmm. Because for how shit Arsenal have been, for them to finish above Tottenham again, like, that would be insane. Yeah. And it's, you know, and they could quite easily drop out of that Conference League position. So they're playing for Europe as well, which is mad. And yeah, I don't think the Europa League's going to keep Harry Kane, but it certainly makes getting some kind of a replacement for Harry Kane a touch easier.
It's just something, isn't it? Yeah. It's an unmitigated failure if you're not in Europe.
And they can still get the Europa League.
Yeah.
Can't they?
So yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Ben? I mean, it would be nice to hope in that regard. I'm glad that we don't have to hope is kind of my point. I'm glad that it's in Liverpool's hands, because I wouldn't want to need Spurs to do something there.
I think there's more chance of the other game going in our favour. Chelsea away at Villa, the way that they've got. I think from Tottenham's perspective, I know what you're saying, Chris, but does anybody really want to play in the UEFA Conference League? You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's not about that, though, is it, Ben?
It's
about the money that goes with it, mate. It's not about whether the...
And
the players would.
How much money are they getting? There's such a big gap between Champions League money and Europa League money. There can't be much on the table for the Conference League.
But there's...
No, but they can get Europa League.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, yeah, in which case then, yeah, that's a big deal.
And to be fair, we do this all the time.
They're 3 points ahead, but their goal difference is like 9 worse than Tottenham. So if West Ham lose and Tottenham win, they're in the Europa.
And look, let's be honest, every footballer would rather play some European football than not play European football. It's just us that are fucking snobs, and it's probably just us amongst football fans, because everyone outside of the teams that have regular Champions League ambitions absolutely adore being in any form of European competition. God knows we've been there in the past as well. But yeah, there's something to play for. I think Ben's point there, Jay, on the Chelsea Villa one, Villa Park with 10,000 fans in there, that's going to be a big one. They've had a good season by all accounts, Aston Villa. You know, it's not quite hit the stellar heights as it threatened early doors, but you know, Villa Park can be an intimidating place to go to at the best of times. Chelsea have just wobbled. For me, I really hope Chelsea capitulate here, because
how badly?
I don't care.
Are you talking? You want them to lose the Champions League final as well? Badly?
No. There's something here. There's not really a bad situation. I don't really want Man City to win the European Cup because of what that entails. But for Chelsea, a week ago, we were talking about them being the next best contender. We were talking about it being a three-way race for the title next season. And all of a sudden, there's a chance that they'll be in the Europa League, having capitulated. I think that harms their chances of being a competitive team, which I think could be quite a good thing for us in the medium term.
Absolutely, and it's something that a lot of us as Liverpool fans have sort of toyed with, haven't you? The idea of, well, a couple of weeks ago, we accepted we'll get Europa League. So what does that do for us in the summer? What does that do for us in the transfer market? And everyone has a different opinion on it. And it is fitting that sort of, not, it's not an agenda at all, and that's the wrong word to use. It's how you, your club moves on from being in that situation because of the players that they've just signed last summer and what type of targets they're going to go for. And you're absolutely right, Paul, because they could, the third now, they could end up out of the top four, but then that might give them more drive to be beating City in the final. And I think that gives them that extra motivation. Well, that's now our only way back in the competition next season. And I've made my peace with if Chelsea win it, because they've already got one anyway, so they've dealt with that. I can't stand City winning that final. So yeah, that could be the way it goes.
Yeah, there's a nice little story around there anyway. And I've got no ill feeling against Brendan Rodgers, and Leicester are all right, aren't they? And also I don't see them as being major contenders for the European Cup next season if they got in there. Whereas I think Chelsea could do some. They're in the final after half a season with Tuchel. We'll have to see on that one. Right, let's have some score predictions then. Liverpool, Crystal Palace, final game of the season. Chris Pajak,
5-0 Liverpool.
Ben Kelly,
2-0 Liverpool.
Jay Pearson,
3-1.
Ooh. Because it's me and I've done this all season long for the last 11 years, I'm going to pick two. It's either going to be an horrendous 1-0 where we all feel sick to our stomachs at the end of it, or I agree, I think we'll batter them. I'm hoping it's definitely the latter rather than the former. But yeah, let us know your score predictions in the comments. What team would you go for? Is there any shock things you would do in terms of selection? Do check out the Starting 11 Prediction Show for more on that. Actually, we've got a super chat here before we go away. Stefan Valerio again says, off topic for the end, what are your retrospective thoughts on Harry Kewell? Jesus Christ. Australia's best all-time player, admittedly haven't had loads. I can't end the show on that kind of negativity. I'm so sorry. fuck's sake.
He's a really nice fella.
I genuinely shouted abuse at him on the bus parade for the European Cup in 2005. On one of the happiest days of my life. Thanks, Stefan. But yeah, I think it's safe to say that he was a footballer for Liverpool. Right, go and check out all the extra content we've got on the redmentv.com. Do check out the whole DL show on the Super 6 channel. And if you want some cool Nat Phillips t-shirts or Alison Becker t-shirts celebrating some tremendous headed goals, then go and have a look on redmenmerch.com as well. But that is it from us. We will be back. Chris and I will be at Anfield at the weekend for the game. I can't wait. The lads will be picking up the broadcast here for the studio for the watch along, so do check that out. We'll be diving in for all that as well, so hopefully Liverpool can end the season on a relative high. If you want that to happen, drop a like on the video, and we'll see you all very, very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.